Today, we're going to be taking a look at Joseph. As Miss Sally and I put this all together. Oh, children's sermons, service. Yes, children's church. I'm sorry. They may be dismissed. Yes. I'm like, what's Bobby talking about? Oh, the kids. Yeah. I'll get my head in the right game. But today, as we begin looking at Joseph, you've already heard the scriptures, and we're going to be turning there. So if you would, you can open in your scriptures to the book of Matthew. We're going to be in the first chapter, beginning in the 18th verse. But it so amazes me because Miss Sally and I sat down a long time ago, back well before Thanksgiving, and started talking about what we were going to be doing for Advent and coming up with ideas. And it's amazing when you're in church ministry and how far you have to look out ahead to get things going. When we started talking about this, I'm thinking, what am I going to say about Mary? And of course, if you were here last week, you heard about Mary. What am I going to say about Joseph? Because I have never in all of my days used these two people in the Advent story in this context where I'm literally preaching on these two people and how God has used them in our lives as a place where we need to focus and understand. Like I said, and I've talked about this from the beginning, God has, there's a coming to Christ in this, or God coming to us. In the first, when we looked at the prophets called for God to come down from heaven. They called for God to come down from heaven because they knew he couldn't stay far away, because it is, if he stayed far away, we would not come near to him. So he knew that God had to come down from heaven to be in our world, to be active in our lives. And right now, our world hates that reality, that God is alive and well and right here with us. Can I get an amen? Amen. Our world hates that. Because they want God to be distant. In fact, they don't want God to be anywhere around. Again, I just saw this in the newspaper. You know, there's a homeowners association that wanted to take out, this family had a nativity in the front yard, and it just had a sign behind it that said Jesus. They wanted the sign gone. Why are you celebrating Christmas if Jesus can't be in it? It's all about him. I've never seen where Santa Claus or Rudolph or any of the reindeers or elves or any of that make-believe stuff has anything to do with Christmas. That was brought in by people who didn't want it to be about God. But the prophet said, come. Come. Come down among us. And it's so amazing because God hears the calls of his people, and God came. And he told the shepherds about it when they were out in the field, and all of heaven opened up. You know, I talked about this the other week. I said, just think what that looked like. You know, Brother Whitey and I were talking about it, and he said, you know, think about that. Here they were out in the middle of the dark in the desert, and there's no lights around. Remember, it's not like it is today. There aren't street lights everywhere, okay? So here they were out there in the desert, and an angel shows up, and think what his glory looked like in the middle of the dark. But then when he starts praising God, all of heaven opens up and the whole angelic host is there. Do you think it was a little bright out in the desert that night? I'll guarantee you they were seeing lights not only in Bethlehem, but they were seeing them in Jerusalem and everywhere else and wondering, what is that? And the angels bid the shepherds to come. Come and see the King born for you. And then the shepherds said, come, let us go and see this thing. So we have to remember, the prophet said, come down. The angel said, come and see. The shepherds say, come, let us go. And then Mary, this little girl, says, come unto me. She sees herself and understands that she is nothing. How can this be? How can this be? And the angel says, the Holy One of God will be born of you by the Holy Spirit. And she says, come, come unto me. I am thy maidservant. Be it thy will be done. Now think about that. Here's this young lady. She's pledged to be married. Please remember, this is not an engagement. She's already married. At this point, everything's been done. They are married. In the eyes of the law, in the eyes of God, they were married. They hadn't been with each other yet, but Mary was Joseph's and Joseph was Mary's. And all of a sudden, she's going to have a baby and they've never been together. How do you think you would respond or react? Because that's what we do. How many of us react? Yeah. I'll guarantee you, I'm still learning that one. God wants us to respond, not react. In other words, think it through. Run it through your filters. Who's supposed to be our filter? God. Through the Holy Spirit in us. He is meant to be our filter. But rather than calling upon his name, what do? Okay, Rich, what are you going to do here? And you all know I get it right all the time, right? Hush. And that wasn't even my wife. But I want to look at how Joseph responded. Because there's some things about Joseph here that I want us to really comprehend. From the 18th verse, we've already heard it spoken, but we're going to read it now, and I'm going to break it up into its pieces. I'm going to do 18 and 19 first. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. Now, there's a couple of things in here that stand out. First off, we have to understand that Joseph was told that this baby was from the Holy Spirit. How well do you think that went over? I don't think it went over very well because he was planning to put her away. Okay? He was no different than you or I. He was reacting to a situation that he was not in control of. And his reaction was wrong. Now, wait a minute. What do you mean his action was wrong? Look at what the next sentence says. It says, and Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man. This is in Scripture. This isn't my opinion. This guy was a righteous man. In other words, he was right with God. Now, if he's right with God, how could he make the wrong decision? Let me ask you, are you right with God? Are you in Christ Jesus? How do you make bad decisions? By stepping out from under and reacting in your own strength. And that's exactly what Joseph did. Joseph was a righteous man. I want you to think about that. In other words, as he lived his life under the law, that he was considered righteous. He would have entered into Abraham's bosom upon his death. God looked upon him and said, righteous. That's his word, not mine. Okay? And we need to understand, that means he had to be free from sin. In other words, he was doing everything that was right in the eyes of the Lord to keep himself under God's word. Okay, he wasn't being as the Sadducees and the Pharisees who were manipulating the word. He literally came under the word. But yet he still had a problem. It was called flesh. How many of us have flesh on? Let us not forget that. Because we need the Holy Spirit in us to keep us right with God. Here this man is. He's perplexed by this. He's determining what he can do. Just as Mary was looking at this and saying, how could this happen? Because I'm a virgin, I've never been with a man, etc., etc. He's looking at this and saying, how can I deal with this? I'm a righteous man. I can't take this woman unto myself, because if I do, knowing that she's pregnant to another man, I bring the condemnation of her sin upon myself, and I can't walk in communion with God. Please understand that. That's what's at stake here in Joseph's mind. If he takes this prostitute, this woman who slept with another man, this harlot, in to be his wife, what she is now befalls him. So he planned to put her away. He was a righteous man, so he wasn't doing this out in public to make a big spectacle of things. He was going to do it secretly. How many of us do the sins that we do in life secretly? We don't do them out in public. We do it behind closed doors. We do it where nobody can see us. Yeah, if you believe that, I got a piece of swamp land in Arizona I want to sell. Arizona's a desert, by the way. So what happens to Joseph? Well, that's the next section that I want us to look at. Because you see, if we claim to be gods and if we truly are righteous people, God will talk to us. I've had so many people in my life who've said to me, but Pastor, I've never heard God. And I just look at them and say, really? How do you think you make any good decisions? Because without God, we're going to do all the bad stuff. We're going to do all the dumb stuff. Can I get an amen? Yeah. Mr. Sheep over here. We wander. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Now, I want you to think about Joseph here. Here Joseph is. He's contemplated this in his mind. He's set it into action. This is his plan. This is what he's going to do. And he goes to bed at night feeling good about himself. He's made up his mind, and he's going to do what he wants to do. How many of us sleep well in our sin? You betcha. We all do. Don't say you don't, or you wouldn't sleep. But that's where God met him. In the still of the night, when everything was quiet, when there were no distractions, God entered in through his angel. And the angel of the Lord said to him the very thing he had already heard. Remember, Mary had already told him all this stuff. Do you think Mary didn't tell him, you know, hey, I'm going to have a baby, and it's but you're supposed to call his name Jesus because the Holy Spirit did this in me? You know, I want you to think about something. This is some of the first places in Scripture where the Holy Spirit is ever mentioned. Up until this point in time, they really had no idea who the Holy Spirit was, okay? They knew that when Samson was alive, that the power of the Lord would come upon Samson from time to time. They didn't have any idea that that was the Holy Spirit, okay? They understood that the prophets would speak God's word from time to time. They didn't understand that that was the Holy Spirit. So here Joseph is, he's being told that the Holy Spirit, you know, wait a minute. If I told you the purple green was coming, what would that mean to you? But all of a sudden, he hears it from somebody who has authority, because he's hearing it from whom? An angel. He's hearing this from an angel. And this angel is telling him, wait a minute. This one to be born, this is all true. This is all true. This is going to happen. Don't be afraid to take her. You've been chosen. Now, I want you to hear something. When God talks to you, what's he telling you? Hey, don't be afraid. You've been chosen. I have a plan for you. I have something that I want you to accomplish that I don't want anybody else to do. This is for you and you alone. And sometimes those things are going to be big, and sometimes those things are going to be small. But whatever they are, they're God's will for our lives. And if we truly love God and we want to be in God's will, don't you think we ought to do them? I don't care what it is. It could be something as small as calling somebody on the phone and just asking, how are you doing today? I have no idea why I'm calling you, but you're on my heart and I just felt like I needed to call. And then you find out that this person was so depressed because whatever. Okay? That's how Dan and Gloria got married. Am I lying? God is in the details. I don't care how stupid, how trivial, because I'll guarantee you right now, you can't comprehend a burning bush. Okay? You and I aren't of, now, and I may be wrong, maybe you are, of the caliber to experience a burning bush and survive it. I don't think I am. Okay? But God may come to you in the whisper of a dream, and he may speak to you where he wants you to be, what he wants you to do. My question to you is this: are you going to submit yourself to what the Lord asks? And that can come in any form, in any guise. And it's so amazing, because it happens every day, and so many of us dismiss it. There are times when you're walking down a street. I know Miss Amy loves it when it happens to Brother David at Walmart, right? You just talk to everybody. How can you do that? She's all blushy right now.
Last time it happened, they were hauling my truck home. Talking to the driver. The Lord told me to talk to him.
Amen. Listen, you don't know what it's going to do. It may drive them away from the Lord. It may drive them to the Lord, but you're planting seeds. You're doing whatever God wants you to do. Joseph here was a wise man. He was a righteous man. An angel comes to him. An angel talks to him. Now, I'm going to tell you folks right now, sometimes it's not going to be an angel that's talking to you. I've had several of you say to me, well, how do I know it's the Lord or if it's me? Because, you know, generally it's just me thinking and this stuff comes to my head and I just look at them and I say, well, is it good? Is it right? Is it in alignment with Scripture? Well, yeah. Then what are you asking for? Do it. If it goes against Scripture, stop. It's that easy. Because I'll tell you right now, what voice do you understand more than any other voice in the world? Your own. Whose voice do you think God's going to speak to you with? Do you think, Miss Pauline, that you're going to hear my voice coming through your dreams? No. If you do, we need to talk. Okay? And we may have to get a psychologist in. Rick, do you hear Miss Pauline's voice? And that answer may be yes. But when it comes to you, when the voice of the Lord comes to you, oftentimes he's speaking in you, through you. Because he knows you, and you know him in that voice. My sheep know my voice. And his voice never voids Scripture. His voice always comes under Scripture and elevates Scripture to elevate you, to encourage you, to exhort the kingdom of God, and to bring you in alignment with him. And that's exactly what was happening to Joseph. Joseph needed that angel because there was something great at stake here. And God chose a man who was righteous. God chose a man who was right with him. And that's one of the things that I need us to understand, guys and gals, If you're right with God, you are chosen of God. He has something for you, and you and I need to submit ourselves to whatever that may be. And the awesome thing is, Brother Bob, he's probably going to do it at the post office with you, because that's where he has you, okay? Miss Tina, it may be at the school where he has you, and I have no idea, okay? But I know he has you there for a reason. Find it out. And then go with it and don't stop, no matter what other people are telling you. Amen?
Amen.
Jason, been a long struggle, hasn't it? But it ain't over, is it? There's a whole lot more yet to come, and there's new adventures out there. Are you ready for them? I thought I was too. But as I get older, I'd like it to slow down a little bit. The ride just seems to keep going, and I get older and older. Got to slow it down, bring in the brake a little bit. But you're still young. Yeah, experience what God has for you, but make sure it's God, right? So the angel spoke, and he says, now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken. And he said to him, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Folks, do you realize what God was asking Joseph to do? The song we just sang or just saw portrayed it so wonderfully well. He was asking a man to raise God. How does a man raise God? Do you know if you're a Christian, you're doing that very same thing right now? Where's God? In you. Are you going to nurture him? Are you going to raise him up? Are you going to allow God to grow in you in a very spiritual way, as Joseph did in a very physical way? I'm talking to every Christian right now, because that's what God's asking. He started out little in us. He didn't come in as conquering king. He didn't come in as, I'm going to change your life like that and everything's going to be different. He came in small, and he changed little things, okay? I think it's so amazing. I'm 55, double nickels. Only happens once in your life. I'm enjoying it. And it's so amazing to me, because I think I'm all grown up, and then I look at the Christ in me and I realize I'm still just a babe. I've got so much more to learn, so much more to go. Lord, will I ever fit in your shoes? You know, it's like when you were a kid, you know, how many of you, you know, you ladies, you put on mom's high heels and her big hat. Okay, or you guys, I can remember putting on my dad's work boots. I'd stick them on and they would, you know, they're 9-inch boots, but they would come up just about to my knee, and I'd walk around and I'd have his pants and I'd be holding them. Can y'all remember that kind of stuff? Or is it just me because I'm weird? Daddy has big shoes. But he wants us to put them on every now and then so we remember where we really are. But he wants us to grow up to fit into them one day. And that's what's happening right here with Joseph. Joseph is being asked to grow up the Lord. But who is he really growing up? He's growing up himself. He's giving himself to the Lord in such a way that Joseph is saying, wow, how can I do this? How can I be the father, the physical father of God, my Savior? And yet, he does. Look at the last portion. It says, and Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife. But he kept her as a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. One of the things I think is so important in that aspect, and I'm going to pull that out, and then I'll go back. In Jewish tradition, in Hebrew tradition, in the tradition of how things began, Adam named all the creatures because he had dominion over them. Who named Jesus? God named Jesus. He told Joseph what to call him. We need to remember, Joseph was not over Jesus. Jesus was over Joseph, but Joseph was given the charge to love him, to care for him, and to nurture him. But something had to happen to Joseph. Where's Joseph's come? Remember, this is all about come. Joseph's come was come. Change my heart, O Lord. Joseph had to change his attitude. Joseph had to be changed by the word of the Lord to accept what God wanted him to be, to become what God wanted him to be. And that's where you and I have to meet Christ in this last week of Advent. If we're truly going to carry and nurture and raise up the Christ in us, that we can grow with him, we have got to invite him, because he does not do it harshly. He will not come unto us and force himself upon us. We must welcome him into our lives and submit ourselves to him as Joseph did. And Joseph says, come, change my heart. Make me what you want me to be. Because how do you think he felt raising God? I don't think I could do that. I would need to be so submitted to God that I would know everything that I was doing, that this is what God would have of me, that I would be pleasing unto him and raising up his son. I mean, you talk about close accounts. You think Joseph was a righteous man before, remember, Scripture says he was a righteous man before this happened. How much more righteous do you think he was or is now that he has submitted himself into that place? I'll guarantee you there's a reason Joseph is not spoken of often in the Scriptures. And I think it's most amazing, because Joseph, being changed, humbled himself to the point that he became nothing and Christ became everything. Can I get an hallelujah and amen? Because how many of us in this world today have our children living our lives through them? I want you to think about that. What do I mean by that? I think it is so funny. We see these parents who shove their children into all kinds of social stuff. You know, we're going to sign up for ballet lessons and you know, baton twirling and, you know, whatever girls do. And for the boys, you know, we're going to play soccer and we're going to play baseball and we're going to wrestle and we're going to. And the next thing you know, where's church? Where's God? But we don't have room for that stuff because, you know, this socializing stuff is more important. Because the parents want to live their lives again through their kids. Well, these are all the things I missed out on. Suck it up, cupcake. I'll tell you right now, I'm glad I missed out on some of that stuff, because I am who I am today and God's using me. Can I get an amen? Is God using you? You know, I look around and I know what some of you do for a living. Do you realize you're there because God wants you there? God wants you where you are to touch the lives that he wants you to touch for this purpose. Not for another purpose, not to elevate something else, not to become something else, but to be who you are. Just as he wanted Joseph to be who he is. And Joseph submitted himself in such a way that when it was written, when history was written, and that's what this is, his story, right? How much do we read of Joseph? A couple pages. And there are only mentions on the page. It's not whole pages about him. How important was Joseph? I dare say he was one of the most important men in all of history. There's only one place that your name has to be written. And it's the most important book of all history. Where is that? The book of life. Are you going to invite God to come and change you, that you may be entered into that book? And it's only one line. All it is your name. Rich Dubs. Anybody else? It's the only place it ever need be. But we've got to invite it to be written there. Would you pray with me today? Gracious God, we come and we do ask that you would change our hearts. And Lord, we showed that through communion this day, that as we submitted ourselves to you, we were literally asking you to come upon us. So Lord, it's a concept we understand, but Father, we ask that you would help us to apply it everywhere, not just here, but into the every moment of life, that we would truly become less and you would become more. And that as people would look upon us, that they would see your love, your grace, your compassion, that they would come unto you as well, that they truly may receive the babe, the Son of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all God's people said, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA, 17083.